Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up amongst us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Danilo, can you come up? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for Danilo, for all the work, all the time that he has spent preparing about the scripture, preparing your message. We ask your blessings, your hand upon him. And as he speaks, be with him. Let your word flow through him. And we ask for the rest of us as we listen to your word, Lord. Help us open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, so that we can understand what you have for us, and also be able to make that part of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So for those of you who are visitors or maybe haven't been here for a while, we've been going through a series called Compassion, Learning to Love Like God, Learning to Love Like Jesus. And as we read our theme verse at the beginning of the service from Colossians, we are called to clothe ourselves with compassion the way that God has clothed himself, with patience, humility, and with love for one another and for ourselves and for God. A few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, my uncle died from ALS. He was 63 years old. He left behind my aunts and three kids, two sons and one daughter. He had been diagnosed with ALS about a year and a half ago. And really, this past year, the beginning of the year, his body really started to deteriorate. If you know anything about ALS, your body kind of slowly becomes paralyzed, and you lose movement of your body and normal functions. In the last few weeks, my uncle couldn't do anything for himself, and so my aunt had to care for him. She was working full time, and she would come home and have to provide care for him. It was sad to be at the funeral, to see my grandmother. It was the first of my dad's side of the family, of any of his siblings who have passed away. It was painful to see my grandmother grieving over the loss of her son. We had a time to share some words, and I shared some of my own thoughts, offering some comfort and offering maybe some wisdom, some words of life. I wanted to recognize that death is painful, but also that grief is a process that is still, I'm sure, for my aunt and my cousins, it is still very raw for them. There may be days in these next few months where they have times of laughter and joy, and we talked a lot about remembering my uncle when we're at the table together at family gatherings. But the grief was a process. And one of the things that was also painful was that my cousin, she was in Peru. She'd gone back a few years ago. She was living in Peru, and she wasn't able to get a visa to come to the U.S. to attend her father's funeral. So that was also painful. But one of the things that I thought we could gather around as a family, my cousin, the oldest of my uncle's sons, he started a GoFundMe for his uncle, for his father. My uncle's family, they're undocumented, so they don't have insurance, lots of medical expenses that they're not able to cover. My uncle's, one of his dying wishes was to have his body returned to his home country where he was born. He was cremated, so they're hoping to take his ashes back to Peru. And so my cousin started this GoFundMe campaign to help raise money for expenses, different funeral costs, but also a plane ticket and all the other expenses for my aunt to take his ashes back so his body can rest in peace. When we are willing to suffer alongside people who are vulnerable, we are showing the compassion in the face of death. This is exactly what we are learning from the story this morning that Naveen and Yarkal read from Luke 7. We see Jesus' compassion in action when he raises the widow's son from the dead. Just some background as I was reading and preparing, going through the commentary, a series by N.T. Wright. It's called like a series for everyone. So it's like Romans for everyone, Luke for everyone. So the one I was reading was for Luke. And he gave some good backgrounds for understanding this text and what Jesus was doing. He started off by saying this procession that Jesus kind of ran into with his disciples, that's kind of a normal thing. When there's a death in the family, in the community, there'd be a time of remembering and mourning in the home. And then they would make their way through town out onto the burial site where the rest of the family would be. And so funerals, these processions, it would affect the whole community. People would see, you know, family. There'd be professional mourners who'd be crying and grieving with the family. They would see this procession going on out the gate and out to the burial site. And N.T. Wright noted that likely this burial site would be where the father and maybe the grandfather, the rest of the family, had been buried. And so it was a tradition. The families would be buried together. And so Jesus, with his disciples, when they're about to approach the gate, he interrupts this procession. He interrupts this procession by speaking to the mother. He tells her, "Don't cry." He speaks to her first. And then he also speaks to the crowd and to the boy. But he does something that's not really customary, not something normal. He goes over and touches the stretcher. Some translations say coffer. Some, it might have been NIV, it said the brier. It's a stretcher. It's this thing that they would carry the bodies out in. But this was not customary for normal people just to touch the stretcher. Only the palm bearers, the people carrying, were allowed. Because when you touch a dead body or when you touch the stretcher, you yourself become unclean. So Jesus was doing something a little bit unusual. He was getting messy. He was getting into things. And so after he does this, Jesus speaks life to the boy. We see this in other places in Scripture where it's this strong command. He speaks directly to the person. He says, "Get up, rise up." And after the boy raises, he gives the boy to his mother. It is a miracle, and the crowd is awestruck. I think also there's this fear and there's also this wonder. Who is this person that he can raise someone from the dead? They say things like, a great prophet has come to visit us, or God has come to help his people. These two phrases are not just referring to some kind of social visit. It's not just like, wow, look at this amazing person. But it's something much deeper. Something much deeper is going on. When they say Jesus is a great prophet, they would be remembering Elijah and Elisha. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah helps a widow in Zarephath, whose only son dies. The stories are very similar. Elijah encounters this woman in this time of famine and need, and her only son dies. And Elijah prays to God, prays over the body, and the boy is raised again. And in 2 Kings 4, Elisha does something similar. Once again, a widow is at the center of this story. The widow is promised a son by Elisha. But when the boy dies, the widow becomes angry and says, you promised this son, you gave me this great gift, God has given me this great gift, and now he is dead. So Elisha, it's actually kind of funny, as I was reading back, he like lays exactly on top of the body. It says, like chest to chest, arms to arms, face to face. It was kind of weird. And he like prayed and breathed over the body, and then the boy is raised back to life. The phrase, God has come to his people, is also important. It was recalling events like the Exodus, where God broke in an astounding and marvelous way. The people were saying, Yahweh has come to rescue and free us. And the crowd was looking to Jesus for some hope. And in this resurrection story, Jesus is foreshadowing his own death and resurrection. He was getting people ready for the possibility of resurrection. But more importantly, he was getting people ready for the possibility of new life. A life after death. So those were some things that helped me kind of frame what's going on in this story. Helped me to understand how Jesus was interacting, maybe what the people were thinking. Some questions as I was reading the text and had some of this background for the commentary. One of the first questions was, why does Jesus show compassion? Why did Jesus show compassion to this widow? Why did Jesus choose this time, this funeral procession, to interact? On a basic level, death is painful. It's hard to lose someone we love. And Jesus wanted to provide some comfort and some hope to the widow. That's on a basic level. Jesus' heart goes out to this woman. On another level, we know that she is a widow. So her husband has already died. She was vulnerable. But at least she had a son. Up until a point. And Jesus cares about people who are vulnerable, like the widow. But then her son dies, right? So Jesus adds on another layer of compassion that is needed. With her son dying, she would become even more vulnerable. Perhaps the woman had daughters. I'm not sure. The text, it doesn't say. But as we know from the culture and customs at this time, it was men or it was sons who kind of owned the property or owned some power. And so with her husband dying, she became more vulnerable. She didn't have a way to make means for herself. But at least she had a son until he died. And so her vulnerability, her defenselessness, it had increased. And so Jesus was aware of that. He had compassion and wanted to do something about it. The next question that came to my mind then was, so Jesus shows compassion for these reasons, because she was a widow, because she lost her son. But then in what specific ways has he shown compassion in the face of death to this widow? The first one is just awareness. You know, Jesus was going, he was making his way into town. He passed through the gate. It's maybe a normal day. or he was kind of in transition, going from place to place, and he noticed what was going on. He was aware, he was looking around and noticed what is happening. So he had awareness. Death is a part of life, but Jesus decided to interrupt that normalness. He was aware of what was going on in people's lives. He made a common interaction into a moment of compassion. And so in our normal routine of life, we too are able to show compassion. An area that I think we can show compassion in or be aware of is around veterans. Those who have come back from war, who have suffered those things, who have witnessed things, maybe in their bodies, they have suffered things. Many times they carry PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. For some veterans, it leads them to take their own life, to commit suicide. How are we being aware to those who suffer around us? PTSD has affected my own family, my cousin and her husband have now divorced. When he came back from Iraq several years ago, it was hard for him. He had insomnia. He couldn't sleep. He had seen terrible things. He felt like the stress of taking care of his children was too much. He couldn't bear it. He would get headaches. They tried to seek help. It was difficult for him. His wife and he, their relationship was strained. It ended in divorce and separation. It broke apart their family. And so now my little cousins, they're growing up with a regular mom and dad in their house. And I see the effects that it has on them. In what ways can you make yourself aware to have compassion for those around you? What are the things in your normal life, in your normal routine, that you need to start taking aware of? Who are the people that cross your path that maybe God is calling you to speak to have compassion on? The other thing that I see Jesus doing is enter into the messiness. Jesus didn't have awareness and say, "That's so sad," and keep moving. Jesus said, "This is so sad, I moved to do something about it." I think Rose talked about the other week that, you know, compassion is something in our gut. It's not just a feeling, it's something that we do. Jesus was comfortable enough to enter into the messiness of humanity. When he saw someone suffering, he did not run from it, but he entered it. He walked into it. He was willing to have solidarity with someone else. He was willing to make himself unclean in order to bring life. And we too are called to enter into the messiness of life. As I spend time with people at Ripple and those who live downtown in Allentown, sitting with them, hearing their stories, I enter into some quite messy situations. I think of one woman. She's a single mom. She has three boys. And a long time ago, you know, she was a single mom working, trying to take care of her boys. And her not being home as much since she was trying to work and provide for them, the boys would sometimes get into trouble. They got into trouble that one of them got into trouble that led to a jail sentence. And so she decided to serve his time on his behalf. There was lots of money for court fees that she had to pay that started to stack up over time. She didn't have enough money to take care of her kids, to pay the fees. She ended up being homeless. That was a few years ago, but she was able to start to rebuild herself. She received some help. She kind of got back on her feet a little bit. But these court fees that she's still paying off, are still there, and she's working at them. She also suffered some medical issues that didn't allow her to work, so she had to depend on others, on financial assistance. And a few months ago, she had a court date. The judge wanted to tell her to pay more money. And so she was scared, you know. She said, I'm living on this amount of income. I'm paying the fees. I'm trying to do my best. And she was worried that because she couldn't pay as much as they wanted, maybe she'd go back to jail. Maybe she would end up homeless. And so going to court with her, going to this hearing, I was trying to enter into the message. She was telling me other stories about her life as well, different things that had happened. I realized, that her life was messy and that she needed someone to walk with her, to be with her, to calm her fears of going to jail or being homeless again. And praise God, her outcome was good and she was able to get things resolved. Once again, in what ways are you willing to risk the messiness of others' lives in order to show compassion? Where is God calling you to step into, to enter it, rather than to run away? And the last thing that I see Jesus showing compassion is speaking life. Jesus spoke life, words of life, to the mother, to the boy, and to the crowds. The message was that death does not have the final word, that Jesus has the power of resurrection. He was giving the people a hope. In times of great trouble, we too can show compassion to others by speaking words of life. I think of the passing of John Bender, and I think of the ways we have supported Rose. We have supported Kara in Maryland. When Rose was sharing in one of her stories, sharing often her reflections, she was talking about tangible ways that we can show compassion to someone who has lost a loved one. Oftentimes, our words feel like they fail when we try to comfort someone after a loss. We don't know maybe what quite is needed to be said. And so what Rose shared about offering something tangible, she said, you know, in that community, I think it was actually, maybe it was Micah's death, you know, friends or community members said, hey, I'm a mechanic, you need your car fixed anytime, let me know. Maybe some people were willing to cook. Some people were willing to clean the house. Maybe even take care of taxes. When John passed, Marilyn was trying to figure out, what is this Social Security stuff all about? And it was confusing and it was frustrating. Sometimes our actions can also speak life, and not just our words. There are tangible ways that we can offer compassion in the face of death to others, to people that we love. Providing care and support is a way to speak life. We don't simply just belittle it and say, maybe not afraid to talk about it or allow someone to express their loss or just say, well, you know, it'll get better or we still have this hope. We sit and walk with people with grief, but we also do remind them we have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in new life. When we believe in Jesus, there is the hope of resurrection. So in what ways can you speak life and offer compassion in the face of death? What are some tangible things? What does compassion in action look like? As I conclude, I want to remind us that we serve a compassionate God. Even in the face of death, we can show compassion. Compassion is a verb, not necessarily a feeling. We are called to act Jesus was willing to act. When Jesus had compassion, he felt something in his gut, and he didn't stop there. He engaged. He moved into it. He entered into that messiness. If you remember playing with Play-Doh or clay, or kids nowadays, I think they have slime or something. You think about that. You grip it. You mash it in your fingers. It's that messiness. It's that willing to work with it, to sit with it. We must be moved to act like our compassionate God by being aware of what is going on with our lives, others' lives, entering into that messiness and speaking life. And last, we serve a powerful God. As Jesus demonstrates in this story, he has a power over death. Facing our death may be scary, but when we believe in Jesus, we know that death does not have the final word. Our ultimate hope is in the resurrection. We have the promise of being raised from the dead and living with Jesus in all our loved ones. So as people around us face difficulties or even death, let us remember and let us practice compassion and offer the hope of the resurrection. Amen.